the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 2534679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with the very good friends at ESFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESFE White Rum. If anybody feels they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Well, the West Indies of comprehensive victory over Zimbabwe to win the series. Well, I'm not surprised at all, because I think we predicted that the West Indies would have done very well against Zimbabwe. And the reality is that they could have won the first test as well. But what a victory. And Moti, left-arm spinner, bowling beautifully. And it's good to see that this young man from Ghana getting his opportunity and taking it with both hands and, I suppose, feet and everything else. This really represents a performance worthy of commendation. Well, we reported yesterday on Starcom Network, of course, the West Indies side. We spoke to you about the fact that Akeem Jordan had, in fact, made the side along with Alec Atenes, and we note with interest a release by Cricket West Indies today. And certainly we want to congratulate the two young men for getting in to the West Indies side. No room for Warrican and no room for Bonner. And that's interesting, because we're going to really look at that. I'm sure that Philo Wallace, who's already on Zoom, he certainly is going to be giving some reaction as far as that is concerned. We hope as well to touch base with Ryan Hines, from the Barbados team. He's the assistant coach. We are hoping that we can, of course, go to Dominica and speak to Alec Atenes. In fact, he's already online. And we also have arranged for the former fast bowler from Zimbabwe, who will offer his thoughts as well. So what we're going to do quickly is to go to, of course, our good friend there in Dominica, Alec Atenes, to have a word with him. Alec, first of all, congratulations. You are in the West Indies side. You must be very, very happy about that.
Yeah, I'm very happy. I'm happy to see you. I'm satisfied. And that the work I've put in over the years, I could finally see results.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you must be a very happy man about it. You certainly made a big statement, not only in white ball cricket, but in red ball cricket. In fact, only recently you made a brilliant 100 against Trinidad and Tobago. Were you surprised, Alec, when you got the call that you were in the side?
I would say yes. I was a bit surprised. I wasn't expecting it so soon, but I was just focused on me doing my hard work. I'm enjoying the season, enjoying the cricket I'm playing, but mm-hmm. I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Right, indeed. So tell us about Alec. I mean, you're from Dominica, you come from the Grand Bay area. Things have been very tough, but you really made it. I remember you a couple of years ago actually beating Barbados in the Super 50, batting so beautifully towards the end, having the opportunity to play under 19. Tell us about Alec. You live in, is that the Grand Bay area in Dominica? Am I right?
Yes, the Grand Bay area. I am from the south.
You're from the south?
Yes, that's way down. So outside in Dominica, Grand Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my name is Alec. As you all know, I'm 24 years old. I'm obsessed with cricket, and I've been playing cricket since I was about 8. Competitive cricket. I started very young.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bit shy at first, but I was forced into playing cricket at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
I always loved the game. but I didn't want to play competitively because I was so shy. But I guess my first coach, I was thinking of my name is Alex Lafayette. He actually saw me and scouted the talent very early, and he told me that he believes in me to play at that competitive level. I think he pushed me to play, the second division cricket at the age of 10. So I started very, very young. It didn't go as planned when I was young, but I think that helped in my development and me gaining experience and me being brave right about now.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, Dr. Ford, the co-host, is with me. Good evening to you, Dr. Ford, and of course, Philo Wallace. No doubt you want to congratulate the young man, Alec Attenay, is from Dominica. Dr. Ford or Philo, any questions for the young man?
Oh, well, welcome to Alec, and good night, Andrew and Philo and all the listeners. Alec, congratulations. You made 100 already in our 4-day tournament. Tell us about that 100, because that seemed to have really helped to, you know, give you the nod with the selectors.
Well, it was a very special 100 for me. It being my first, but I think what made it more special is that the team was in a bit of a bother. To be honest, it's the first time that I've seen the conditions in Grenada behave that way, where the ball was swinging right through the deep. I think the weather asked us to do that, and the pitch had a lot of grass. So it was a very special inning where the team was 28 for 3, I think, when I was batting. And I think I'm one of the players that do well when added responsibility is placed on me. So it was a very special inning. I enjoyed batting. I enjoyed the challenge playing against the more senior boys. It was a very special inning.
Yes. Well, you, as you mentioned, that was your first 100. You have 7 50s already. So that was a big landmark, something that you were looking forward to for a long time. What are your goals for the tour? You've been added to the team as a batsman. So I guess you'll be the most junior, and you may not actually start, but what are your goals for the tour?
Well, it's to learn as much as possible, I would say. It's very early in my career. I'm now starting. So I think my goal is to learn as much as possible, if given the opportunity, to contribute to the team as much as I can.
Tell us about your strengths. Where is your preferred batting position, and what you think are your strengths that make you a batsman at the international level?
Well, I would prefer batting. I prefer batting in the middle. Well, like about 5-6. I would prefer I start there and work my way up. But I feel more comfortable against. Well, I wouldn't say I feel more comfortable. I enjoy playing spin, but pace is something that I enjoy. I enjoy the challenge. So I guess that's probably why. And me starting at a very young age, where everybody was much bigger than me and everybody was much taller than me, and the ball, I think when you're young, the ball, you don't move as much as you don't move as quickly, and the ball is coming much quicker to you and stuff. So I think probably that is one of the reasons that I like this. But I feel more comfortable against this. But it's a bigger challenge. It's a much, much bigger stage, and I'm looking forward to learn as much as I can on the job.
Indeed. Just before you come in, this is a big moment, of course, for our friends in Dominica. By the way, we're trying to get Akeem Jordan. His phone, as they say, is ringing out. I've been trying to reach him for some time. So, Akeem, we'd love to speak to you. But let's go to Dominica again and speak to Gavin Richards, who, of course, is from DBS Radio there in Dominica. Hello, Gavin. You must be quite a happy man with the selection of Alec Attenay's fellow Dominican to the West Indies side. Gavin?
Good night. Hi, good night, Andrew. And good night, Alec and Dr. Fordy. Yes, very proud moment for us in Dominica. I mean, we're celebrating. We've been, you know, very happy right now with what's going on. Big news for Alec Athanas. And of course, we want to congratulate him once again.
Yes, and in fact, you were telling me about his struggles as a young man. Lost his contract, you know, during the storm. That's a very interesting story that you were telling me, and I'm sure that the Mason and Guest family would want to hear about that story about the young man. Tell us about it.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, Alec Athanas has always been, you know, a player who really, you know, made the best out of his limited resources and everything along those lines. And, you know, when he got up to the, well, before he got to the West Indies, on the 19 team, because as you know, he participated in the World Cup in 2018 for the under 19 team. We were impacted by a hurricane in 2017,
mm-hmm.
and that was Hurricane Maria. And what transpired then, you know, it's basically total devastation of the country. And, you know, a lot of people were trying to secure food and water and stuff along those lines. So there was one particular day that I was at the port, you know, trying to see if we could just some food and water, like everyone else. And here comes young Alec Athanas, just a few days after the storm, and Alec was like, "Gavin, I need to make a phone call. I need to get in contact with Cricket West Indies." So I'm like, "Alec, what's wrong?" He said, "Well, you know, I lost my phone during the storm, and I'm supposed to be heading up to Antigua for a camp for the World Cup, and I need to let the guys know that I'm okay and I'm ready to go." And I was like, wow, you know, during this trying time, you know, he basically lost almost everything that he had, because he was one of the people badly affected by the storm, you know. And I was like, wow, you know, Alec Athanas is more concerned with trying to put his fixing career than even securing his own well-being.
Mm.
And, you know, the character of that guy that, you know, a number of people would have probably given up and said, well, you know, the storm took everything, and better luck next time, I'll try again next time. But he was determined, and, you know, he found his way. You know, he made contact with the guys at Cricket West Indies. A few months later, he was off to Antigua for the camp, and the rest is history. Ended up being the leading run scorer in the World Cup, the under 19 World Cup.
Yes,
and
he was.
And from there, yeah. And, I mean, the road has been a long one for him, getting to the West Indies team. You know, when you compare it to the likes of Shubman Gill, for example, who was part of that under 19 World Cup. But Alec is a perfect example of just not giving up and just continuing to work hard.
Yeah,
I remember when he lost his contract for the Windward Islands Volcanoes, you know, that created a big public outcry in Dominica. I mean, everyone.
Yes, I remember that, yeah.
And Alec, you know, could have simply said, well, you know, yes, I lost my contract and blame other people. But he didn't. He blamed himself and he said, if I lost my contract, that's because I didn't do what I had to do. So right now I'm going to focus and work hard and do what I need to do so that I will never lose my contract again.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years later, he's now the captain of the women's team. And now he's a player for the West Indies team. And it's just an amazing story.
Yes, and I can imagine that there's a lot of celebration in Dominica about that. I my friends in Dominica are on WhatsApp with me today. They're quite excited about the fact that a Dominican who's worked so hard has finally made it at the top.
Yes, I mean, the congratulatory messages are coming in from the highest level to the lowest level. Every Dominican is extremely proud of Alec Athanas. I mean, the Prime Minister issued a statement this morning. The minister for sports issued a statement as well. The parliament representative from Granby, where Alec Athanas is from, issued a statement. The cricket association, everyone, all walks of life. I mean, if you were to go onto social media and you just look at the reaction that Alec is getting, I mean, it's just amazing. And the entire country is proud of Alec Athanas. We really embraced him, you know, as a real son of the soil, literally. And he's just an amazing guy.
Yeah. Well, Gavin, I want to thank you for coming through there at DBS for being on the program. Just before Alec goes, we don't want to keep him too much longer. Let's go to Philo. Any questions for the young man, Philo?
Hi, Andrew. Good night, Dr. Ford. Good night to Ed. just want to say good night to everyone. Happy Valentine's Day, Andrew. Mm. We're still men, but we can wish one another happy Valentine's. Cheryl Harden and Evan. I just want to congratulate Alec Antunes for being included in the 50-man squad to tour South Africa. Mm-hmm. I've been to South Africa. It wasn't a good tour. It was rough. We played, I think, 5 test matches. He's only going there to be part of the squad for 2. But it's a massive step, mm-hmm. the young man, Andrew. And he's come through the ranks, yeah. one would say. And he's shown that through adversity, you can be successful. And I want to wish him all the very best. I know the Windward Islands will miss him. If that's lost their coach as well, who I believe would have had part. And in helping him to develop in consistency mm-hmm. as a batter, which is key mm-hmm. to his selection. And I want him to understand that when you go to South Africa, whatever opportunities you get, you're going to rub shoulders with someone called Brian Lara, who's the performance mentor. You need to tap into his think about how to do things. I want to ask you, Alec, as captain of the Windward Island Volcanoes and leaving them, what part of your success for the consistency and what are you going to leave with the Windwards and take to West Indies cricket that you believe
I didn't can get that. Can you repeat? I didn't get that.
I want to know what is part and parcel of your consistency as a batter and what are you leaving as captain of the Windward Island Volcanoes that you're going to take to West Indies cricket and obviously bring success as well. We just had success in Zimbabwe. We need success in South Africa. You have to be what are you going to bring to mm-hmm. help with that success? Because you have positive coming mm-hmm. going into that series.
Can you say that again? I'm sorry. You're kind of breaking up. I'm not sure
What are the attributes you are bringing to West Indies cricket in relation to your consistency as a batter? What has catapulted that consistency in your cricket? And obviously, going into the international arena, what attitude are you going to carry with you in relation to making a contribution, if given the opportunity at West Indies level in South Africa?
Alec, he just wants to know why is it that you are so consistent? What would have been responsible for that, the consistency? He's gone? Is Alec still with us? Okay, all right. Okay, so I think we seem to have lost Alec. All right, we've had some good stuff from him. We've lost them. I think we got the meat of the matter. All right, let's pause for business calls. When we come back, of course, Ed Rainsford is with us. And just around 7:15, we should be joined by the Vice President of Cricket West Indies, Dr. Kishore Shallow. It'd be interesting to hear what he has to say. Mason and Guest, brought in association with our very good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify. Just sing this song, tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right. Thanks to Alec Antunes. Let me tell you that we've been trying to get hold of Akeem Jordan. And so far, we've been unsuccessful in our quest to talk to him. We want to congratulate him, Akeem Jordan. And we hope that before the show ends, we'll be able to speak to him. Let's go to our friend Ed Rainsford, the former Zimbabwe fast bowler. You were decimated today in 3 days. Can you tell us what went wrong with Zimbabwe? Can you tell us, please, Ed, what went wrong? You were hit by a storm.
That is what a choice of words. Decimated. Good evening, everybody. I hope you're all doing well.
Yes, we are.
I think you're right. It wasn't a great showing by the Zimbabweans, especially with the bat in hand, being bowled out for 115 in the first innings, and then 173, and then losing by an innings and 4 runs. You really got to take your hat off to Moti, the left arm spinner, picking up 13 wickets for 99 runs in the test match. I think the way he bowled, he just did not allow Zimbabwe to, or any of the Zimbabwean batters to get into the test match, and neither did the other supporting bowlers. What was disappointing, I think, Gary Balance not being in the side. I understand he was unwell, but it also then did show the lack of experience with the Test cricket and the young players coming into the side. Some will say it's positive that some of the players that did play, who have been scoring runs in the local first class setup, got an opportunity to sort of show what they can do on the international stage, but it wasn't really good enough. I believe the first Test match, they really did fight hard with the ball and the bat. But in the second Test match, I think the West Indies started to summarize the conditions a bit better. They really did apply themselves. What did strike me was picking up 13 wickets for the left-arm spinner in the game did tell me that perhaps the wicket did take quite a bit of turn. In the first day, literally just fast-forward to the game, even with the loss of time again to weather, it did show that the surface did take a little bit of spin, and Moti did just show that he's a cut above everyone else with the ball in the Test match. Also, what did strike me, no one got a 100 in this Test match. It proved quite difficult. Rustin Sheikh getting 70 off 132, and the Zimbabwean captain getting 72 off 105, did show that batting was not easy. It wasn't as if the first Test match where you saw big hundreds from the opening pair from the West Indies, and then a great 100 by Gary Balance in the Zimbabwean innings. But it did show that the conditions were quite difficult to bat in, and not quite as easy as it was in the first Test match. And that's what really separated the application by the two sides, where West Indies were great with the ball and then really just got that lead in their first innings and then put pressure on Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, any questions for Ed or your comments? Yes, fellow?
Ed, I want to ask you about the Test match. Obviously, both Test matches play at the same venue.
Yeah.
And we saw from that first test, that pitch was obviously very slow and docile. Does it make sense to have a second Test match at the same venue on the same square?
Yeah, it doesn't, Below. It doesn't really make sense. I think what also I've been asking for the last couple of days is did they play on the same strip that was played in the first Test match with the amount of turn and the depreciation to that particular surface? And I think they did play on the same surface. And so for me, why not play on a fresh strip or go and play the next Test match in Harare? The one thing about Harare, and I think they did make a good decision in playing all the games in Bulawayo. I'm in Harare right now. I have not seen the sun in about 8 days. Mm. I have just seen rain. Ooh. So they wouldn't have been able to play a Test match here at all, because we're right in the heart of our rainy season. And Bulawayo doesn't get as much rain as Harare. So they did make a strategic decision to play the Test match in Bulawayo because of the amount of rain and water that's been falling here in Harare. And I kid you not, I have not seen the sun in the last 8 days. Even some of the first-class games that have been going on here in Harare haven't even made it to the second day. They've actually been called off. Mm-hmm. So I give the administration a pat on the back for being quick on their feet to allow the two Test matches to be played at the same venue. And the rest of the other grounds in the country have not been accredited to Test cricket. So, yeah. So to answer your question, yes, not ideal, but ideal in the sense that they manage the situation, Pillon.
Mm. Doc?
Okay, my question is related to Zimbabwe cricket and the inequity among ICC members that play Test cricket. Like the West Indies, you have issues with players who are connected with franchise cricket, their injuries, there's economics, and a lack of depth like even the West Indies is struggling with. What are the biggest hurdles for Zimbabwe cricket? And how do you think some of these issues can be resolved?
So Zimbabwe cricket have come out of a very difficult place where they were in debt. There were a number of issues prior to 2019. But the administration that's there right now has done actually a great job to extinguish a lot of the debt. They're a very independent board now. They've hired Dave Houghton. They've been able to allow foreign players, especially county players, to come and play in the first class setup. Players are being paid really well. They're being paid on time. They're not the most financially rich cricket board, but they're managing their issues really well. What has transformed a lot in the game here is the white ball cricket. They're being very good at T20 cricket, which got them to the T20 World Cup after a long time out of that stage. And their one-day cricket as well has also improved dramatically. But the real, probably the big issue is, are they producing enough test cricketers, especially in the first-class setup? How many test openers can they produce? Because this test match did show them that they need to try and find really established test openers like a Brathwaite and a Chanderpaul. Do they have guys who can bat the long innings? And the question is that, I mean, the answer to that is no, they haven't been able to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a longevity thing. They need to allow these players to play a lot of four-day cricket domestically, but also to expose them to A tours. Go to Sri Lanka. England Lions have been in Sri Lanka now going on 4 or 5 weeks. They've got another 2 weeks there playing unofficial tests. So they need to be going to places like India, even to the West Indies, to Sri Lanka, Australia, and getting these players that they believe are the core test players, getting exposed to really difficult, hard conditions so that they can also forge their own sort of discipline around the longer version game. But having said that, since 2017, I think Zimbabwe cricket have played 15 test matches. That's about 2.5 test matches a year. So at most, in an aggregate like that, that's not ideal. In those 15 test matches, they won two, one against Afghanistan and I think one against Bangladesh and Sylhet. They drew three and then they lost the other 10. So they've won 2 out of 15, drawn three. That doesn't give them a great deal of confidence. Playing 15 test matches in 6 years and only winning two and drawing three. They need to be playing a bit more hardened cricket against the bigger sides so that they can also gauge what they need to do. And that's a difficult thing now with the change in the cycle of ICC, the future tours program. Zimbabwe cricket doesn't see themselves playing a lot of test cricket throughout the next 4 years until 2027. I think it's 4 or 5 test matches a year. I think South Africa in the same boat. There's a lot of franchise cricket that you're talking about at the moment, and that's luring a lot of the teams away. And I think there's a lot more franchise cricket that's to come. I see the United States are wanting to launch their own version. The UAE have their own version. South Africa have just hosted a very successful one. The Big Bash in Australia, and not to mention the IPL, there's the CPL as well. So for a small nation like Zimbabwe, if they produce 2 or 3 gems, they're obviously going to be asked or being put in auctions, and they will be snapped up by a few teams. And it's very hard to stop them from going to these particular tournaments. But I think the answer is to create a greater pool of fantastic, talented cricketers so that when 2 or 3 really good ones fall out, another 4 or 5 are waiting in the wings and can perform at the same level as well. But it's an ever turning conveyor belt now. And you know it in the West Indies. One of the things that baffles me about the West Indies is there is buckets and buckets loads of talent in the West Indies. Mm-hmm. And you will continue to produce them. But because they're so good and they're so talented and they can hit the ball from Antigua into Bermuda, they're all going to be taken up by a lot of these franchise cricket nations. I think as a whole, the cricketing family probably needs to know how to integrate test cricket with the franchise cricket, with ODI cricket, and try. I think it's about all stakeholders involved in cricket and trying to balance that throughout a 12-month calendar that's even becoming more and more congested. I even forgot about the Blast and the 100 in England, mm-hmm. where you'll still lose some players. I think Zimbabwe played their next test match in June against the West Indies. Against Afghanistan, 2 test matches in June, and that's the heart of winter. So, and that'll be the last test match until probably next year. So it's a family issue. It's a cricket family issue. And I think the answers can only come from the ICC and how they can manage what's happening now with franchise cricket. It's a difficult one. Now it's also turning into the women's game where you've got the women's IPL, you've got the women's 100, you've got the women's Big Bash. The West Indies also experimented in the last in August, where they created a women's tournament as well. So it's going to be a difficult one. And I think to answer your question, as I went round and round all the islands there, is that Zimbabwe need to create more talent. They need to create a greater pool of talented cricketers, because they've come out of very difficult financial and off the field issues, and they've corrected all of that. And now it's really about what happens on the field. Can they continue to have a high quality cricket team playing at a high quality standard against high quality opposition?
But Ed, I want to ask you a question, because years ago, you had, let's say 10, 15 years ago, Zimbabwe cricket team was very competitive. We have the guys like Alistair Campbell, Neil Johnson, Craig Richard. The people who was Tatenda Taibu, who was the convener selectors. Where are these guys in relation to helping Zimbabwe cricket, helping David Houghton, who always seemed to be the fellow that they call on in a crisis to come and help them?
Yeah,
he seems to be loyal son of Zimbabwe's cricket. Where are those other former greats who have graced the world? And we know that Heath Streak has found himself in some problems with match fixing. But what has become of those fellows who can help develop these cricketers that, as you said, as Zimbabwe so badly needs?
Yeah, so a lot of them have come and gone. Alistair Campbell is involved in cricket to some degree. He's got a cricket academy which he's built, where there's quite a great turnover of cricketers that are using that facility. It's an indoor facility. He came and he went, and I think at this stage, it's about Zimbabwe cricket engaging him and finding out where he can fit in. Tatenda Taibu has come and gone as well. He's now also helping a high performance, actually the high performance center in Bangladesh. So there, you're right, Pillow. There's someone who has got a great deal to offer, but he's offering it to Bangladesh. Then you have Andy Flower, who is the greatest Zimbabwe cricketer of all time. He's now the number one sort of coach in franchise cricket. He's now into all of the franchises around the world. So it's a difficult one to lure these guys back, especially when they've already set up their own sort of niches wherever they are. But I do believe they need to be engaged, even from a consultancy point of view, even from a thought point of view, even just from a conversation across the table over Zoom, as we're doing right now. And pick their brains and get ideas. They don't necessarily need to be here, but they can give you a vital information. And I think it's about starting a conversation. Wishart, you know, his son goes to the same school as my son. He's a little bit better. And his son is an unbelievable cricketer. But Craig Wishart is not someone who's really necessarily wanting to be involved in the administration side of things. You could actually involve him from a batting consultant point of view to your first-class cricketers. There's so many that you could actually necessarily just get them in. It's not a money thing. I think it's a service, as they did, as they played for Zimbabwe. It's a service where they're actually just giving themselves their cricketing acumen, and it just takes a little bit of time. Their thought of the game, and whether it's useful or not, at least they're contributing in some way or form. So, Peter, you raise a great point. There's a lot of high-level cricketers that played for Zimbabwe that could make a difference, but I think it's necessarily how do you start that conversation and get them involved in some way or form, even if it's from a grassroots level, literally from your under-10s to your under-12s to your under-19s. And that's where it really starts, doesn't it? That's where the heart burns for the game, and that's where your heart burns of wanting to represent the country.
Ed, stay with us, because we I know Philo's got another question for you, or another couple of questions. We also want to talk, of course, about the Women's World Cup, and we got to go to a commercial break pretty soon. We're hoping very soon to link with Dr. Kishore Shallow, but just quickly, let's go to Ryan Hines, the assistant coach of the Barbados side, with Akeem Jordan making the West Indies side. Ryan, I'm sure that you must be quite a happy man. You were with him just recently when you defeated the Jamaica side. You must be happy about the fact that Akeem Jordan is now with the West Indies team. Your reaction?
Good evening, Andrew, to you and your guests, to the listeners. Happy Valentine's Day to all. Thanks for the invitation on the show. Yes, we are pleased for Akeem. We as a group, we try to enjoy each other's success. And this has certainly lifted the team. And Akeem's story is an interesting story because a year ago, Akeem obviously being contracted, he asked a couple of questions. What would it take to play international cricket? And he would have praised the few coaches that be. And one of the things, you've got to be fitter, be stronger. It's important to bowl your new ball, energy, bowl your own ball. And he has done that. He has shown significant strides in terms of his fitness, his attitude, and his overall cricket. He's an excellent slip fielder, something that he worked really hard on. And we are very pleased for him.
Indeed. So he goes off, of course, to the West Indies team, to South Africa. Tell us a bit about him. I mean, I know you spoke about him. How quick is he? Is he what, medium fast?
I don't have a speaker, so I can't attest to how fast he is. I suppose probably the 80s or so. But he's a very canny. He reminds me a lot of Philander.
Oh, Philander.
In terms of his skill.
Okay.
His bowling skill.
Mm.
Not blessed with pace, but the lines and lengths that he bowls on a consistent basis and challenging batters' technique with the new ball has paid dividends. Not only in red ball cricket, Andrew, he has an excellent white ball record as well, 248 wickets in 32 games.
Tremendous.
And three five wicket hauls. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's outstanding in a short career.
Right. Just before you go, Ryan, Barbados, of course, in the regional competition, I note with interest, the Guyana Harpy Eagles, they've got 15 points, Barbados 12, the Red Force 6, the Volcanoes 6, the Leewards Hurricanes, they've got 6, and the Jamaica Scorpions 3. You had a big victory against Jamaica. Tell us about that.
Before we get to the big victory against Jamaica, I thought that Guyana played some really solid cricket.
Mm.
You know, we took a lot of learning from that game. I thought that the Pacers, the fast bowlers from Guyana bowled extremely well as a group.
Right.
You know, young Shamar Joseph, who recently, you know, got his first 5-wicket haul at this level. It's nice to see Niall Smith back to full fitness and bowling well.
Yes.
And Beaton, who on that day was sharp.
Beaton?
He was sharp, Andrew. And I thought that it's good to see that our fast bowlers, you know, running in with that energy and effort. You know, young Jerry McAllister and Debu.
Yes.
You know, rattling the Guyanese batters in the second innings. Also in the first innings. So it is good to see that we have a core group of fast bowlers coming through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back to the game, I thought that we took a lot of positives from the game, particularly the way that we would have bowled in the second innings.
Right.
Batting-wise, I thought that we could have batted a bit better in terms of partnerships breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a young side. I mean, to debut four players in a first-class championship is never easy.
Right.
And if you go back to my career, Andrew, I started at 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me 2 years to really find my feet in first-class cricket. So it's important to work with them, continue to encourage them, and guide them and impart the knowledge, especially the batters. You know, I think when you look at footwork in the first game, I thought it could have been better. This is something that we went away and worked really hard in 3 days we had before the second game. And we spoke about, you know, rallying. I thought that Mosey played well on a tricky surface, up and down. I thought he played well. The captain played well also. And, you know, it was important for us to get a lead. It was a low scoring match, and it was important for us to get a sizable lead, and that we did.
Yes, I know that Philo and Dr. Ford will have questions for you. In terms of the first day against Guyana, what happened with the pitch? I mean, was it that bad? I mean, you had to stop, I mean, for a couple, maybe an hour or so. What happened there with the pitch?
The pitch was the same as the practice surface.
Oh, dear. The pitch was the same as the practice surface.
I will have to be honest, Andrew. I thought the practice surface was soft, very soft.
Oh, dear.
You know, we turn up, you know, to the practice venue, and we had a practice session. Good attitude from the players, you know, wanted to get out there and get a feel of the environment. But the practice surfaces were soft, Andrew.
Oh, dear.
And I'm saying, if we want to improve cricket holistically, these are the things that we need to get right.
Mm. I see. Philo, any questions for your good friend Ryan?
Hi, good night, Ryan. How are you?
I'm good, Philo. How are you doing?
Yeah, I smooth like silk and solid as a rock. Getting harder. Really, obviously, Akeem Jordan, a young man who, was, as you said, has worked really hard. And under the guidance of Vassman Drakes and yourself, the improvements this young man would have made to get into West Indies cricket. Can you help us through that? And also the game against Jamaica, how did he bowl on that surface? Because Roland Holder told us last week that the surfaces at the Stamford Stadium were relayed. So obviously they must have had some kind of grass, some kind of encouragement for him to bowl so well.
Mm.
Sure, fellow. What I can say in terms of, well, let me start with Akeem first. I thought that Akeem, not only Vosper and myself, but the core coaches at the BCA, I'm pretty sure his club coach as well would have played an integral role in terms of his development within the last year. One of the things that we spoke to Akeem about, and he's a very open-minded young man, is about his overall fitness.
Mm.
You know, and these are the things that he accepted. And he went on about and pushed really, really hard because he wanted to see himself as an all-rounder.
Mm.
He's a capable batsman, but there's still a lot of work to be done on his batting.
Mm.
But what I can say, he's coachable. He's a nice young man. He's willing to accept our voice and take criticism and move forward. In terms of the surface, I thought it was a tricky surface, Andrew. When we turned up there,
tricky.
I want to say it was an even spread of grass. It was patchy grass.
Mm.
You know, so you've seen grass in a couple of areas. And what you would have seen in the match, when it hit the dry areas, it stayed down. When it hit the green areas, it took off.
Oh.
So it was a bit tricky.
Mm.
So we felt that once we got in excess of 200 runs, that we would have been in with it. And I'm cool, this young man. I think McAllister is an interesting story. And I think he's a guy that never played cricket. When they say cricket, he never played by 150, 170, 119. From the beautiful parts that look by corner. And he in a lot, you know, I work with him twice. Because Jerry was not the level that we were required for a class in terms of, you know, being a bit stronger, endurance, etc. And I can work with Jerry. And he within a year, he improved his general to the game. We want to encourage the team to be off better, but yet still competitive.
Mm. You seem to be breaking up a bit there, Ryan. Are you moving? Are you moving around?
No, I'm not moving, Andrew. I'm actually outside taking in some... some of the lovely weather tonight.
Well, of course it's Valentine's night. You perhaps, I'm sure, by your lady. Is that right? Am I getting into your business? I'm normally naughty. All right, just before you go, I'm sure that Dr. Ford may have a question or two for you, Ryan Hines, the assistant coach. Yes, Doc, any questions for good old Ryan Hines, who's going out to big dinner tonight?
The question has two parts. One has to do with the management of your debutant who didn't really come off with the amount of runs that you would expect. How do you encourage a youngster in his first match with the start like he's had? And also the Dorridge batting at number six. Is this this change in the lineup for him to bat at six?
To answer the first question, you know, you're probably speaking about Wickham and also Jonathan Drake, probably Curtin as well, who didn't get the runs that they were looking for. You know, basically, we would have had a series of discussions, not only myself, but Shamar Brooks, along with the captain, Dorich, who are the senior members of the team, along also Mosley and the head coach. And we were open and we were honest with them. You know, at the end of the day, our job is to get the best out of the players.
Hmm.
And in first class cricket, it especially for a batter, it sometimes it takes a bit of time. And especially playing in a Barbados team where you're expected to win. For us, it's about encouraging them, it's about, you know, teaching them, especially the rudiments of the game, the pace of first class cricket, fighting through the tough spells that we would have seen against Guyana. So this is all part of the learning playing on two different surfaces. So it's all about fast tracking their learning, and obviously we have a month before the next three matches. So we have our work cut out in terms of batting, you know, totally different proposition in terms of the surface. You know, Trinidad a bit slow, can spin a bit. So we had an extensive review, and we're looking forward to work, getting back out there and working really hard and enjoying each other's moment together.
All right.
Number six.
In terms of your second question, I'm sorry.
Go continue.
Dorish, I suppose, Dorish is willing to bat at any number for any Barbados team. I can tell you that. I can tell the young man is hungry. You know, it's unfortunate that we would have lost him in the first innings of the Guyana game. But he's a quality player at this level. And I'm pretty sure going forward that Dorish, you will see the best of Dorish this season.
I see. Well, we want to thank you very much indeed for coming through and talking to us, Ryan. So we're not going to hold you up any longer. It's 2 minutes past the 7. Are you going out tonight on Valentine's night with your lady, Ryan?
I'm a quiet family man. I'll listen to the rest of the show and probably take in some athletics. Because, you know, I'm a sports fanatic.
So the answer is no. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Thank you very much indeed. All right. Fine. Okay, we're going to pause for business because when we come back, Dr. Kishore Shallow has joined us, so it's going to be interesting to hear from him. And we're going to wrap it up with Ed Rangeford because it's way past his bedtime. Mason and Guest, brought in association with our very good friends at ASFE Wet Rum, the best shot of the day.
Shot of the day, boy. Pa 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 da 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 da. Pa 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 da da. Say what you want. ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, it's 3 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is Mason and Guest. I'm Andrew Mason, along with co-host Dr. Andrew Ford. We've got former West Indies hard-hitting batsman Philo Wallace with us. Ed Rangeford, who of course is the former Zimbabwe fast bowler. And we've got the distinct pleasure to welcome to Mason and Guest the Vice President of Cricket West Indies, Dr. Kishore Shallow. Good evening to you, Dr. Shallow. How are you?
Good evening, Andrew. Happy Valentine's to your panel and your listeners. It's been a while since I have been here in this program.
Yes, we were wondering.
You know, I'm a very but you know I'm a fervent listener. I listen every week.
Of course,
just been kind of busy as well.
I know.
But, pleasure to be here this evening.
Yes, of course. All right. Now, in terms of the regional competition, two rounds gone. As vice president, are you happy with what took place for the first two rounds, Dr. Shallow?
It's just good to see a few young players, especially Matthew Nandu has been quite consistent so far. Kimani Melius with that exciting 192. Unfortunately, he got an injury the last game and sort of happens, which were very brief innings. The second time around. And there are a few other players, Akeem Jordan, who just gained selection to the West Indies Test team. Congrats to him and the other selectees, Alec Atenez as well, and a few others. I've seen quite a few good performances. I'm happy that, you know, the young guys are putting their hands up. I'm also pleased to see Darren Barber scoring runs again. I'm sure that would inspire the younger players. So it's good to see, and it's great to have regional cricket at this level back again with all the challenges that still exist, meaning, you know, air traveling and so on. It is difficult still, and we are quite happy at Cricket West Indies that we were able to get those two rounds completed successfully, and now we look forward to the remaining rounds in Trinidad. Well, it should be in Trinidad Guyana, you know, to be decided within the next couple of days.
Okay, Doc, stay with us because of course you're going to be our featured guest for the rest of the program. So let's go and wrap it with Ed Rangeford. I know that Philo and Dr. Ford will have questions for you. Just before you go, Ed, the Women's World Cup, the interest, West Indies, they got a big game against India. How has it gone in your view so far? Ed?
I think, hey, I'm here, Andrew. Evening, Vice President of the West Indies Cricket Board. I think it's been disappointing for one particular team, and that's New Zealand. They got bowled out for 76
yes.
and 67. 76 against Australia and 67 against South Africa. So that one was quite surprising for me because New Zealand women's cricket has been strong for such a long time. And what was interesting about Susie's, I think it's Divine, Sophie Divine's interview, where she sort of put some blame on the women's IPL auction happening at the same time
as
the particular game. And it said it was a bit of a distraction. I thought to myself, well, I guess it is some sort of distraction, but you're at a World Cup. Surely you should be concentrating on trying to win the next game after being blown out by Australia. What has been a highlight, Sri Lanka, they beat the host nation, South Africa, and they also went on to beat Bangladesh. So they're unbeaten. Australia look like a juggernaut. They just look as if they've carried on from where they left off in the last World Cup. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be very difficult to beat. England have got off the blocks as well very quickly, and they're also setting a high tone. West Indies women, they play against India. So I had an interview with your good friend Ed Barnes yesterday on his radio show.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we spoke about the West Indies women. And I'd been crying out for the West Indies women to try and put some runs on the board.
Mm.
And they did that against England. So that was a positive. I think Fani Taylor also playing in that particular game also was a positive. They did go on to lose the game. But against India, they have a great opportunity because they have some recent historical evidence and games to go back on and sort of create a strategy against these Indian women. They played them in the Women's Tri-Series in East London. Now, this is a World Cup. There's different pressures that come with it. They've lost their first game. I think the pressure's on India to beat the West Indies, rather the pressure on the West Indies to beat India. So I think the West Indies women should go out there and be ultra, ultra positive, ultra, ultra confident in what they're trying to achieve and have a strategic look at how to perhaps break down that Indian side and create some sort of upset. And that'll also then upset the whole group and allow perhaps West Indies in the remaining games, if they win them, to sort of be in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, I think the whole Women's T20 World Cup up to this particular point, barring New Zealand's performances, has been fantastic. There have been good crowds that have gone out. There's been good interest. I've been watching most of the games and following most of the games. And I think the women's game is continuing to go from strength to strength. And I think this particular World Cup could be quite interesting. And there could be sort of a dark horse out of the shadows that could come out and maybe cause an upset and maybe lift the women's T20 World Cup. So that's been
who's
really
that, exciting. Who's that dark horse, Ed? Tell me.
You know, it could be the Sri Lankan side, honestly. Ooh. The way they're playing the cricket at the moment. They're led well by Atapattu. They've got really good spin bowling options, and even their middle order has stood up.
Yep.
So that would be my dark horse in terms of how they've started their tournament. And what's positive also that's coming out of Sri Lankan cricket, they're all now getting similar match fees to the men's game. It came out a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. There's more positive influence on the game and from a woman's point of view. So they can go into this particular World Cup. They've started well and continue to play well.
All right. Ed, thanks very much indeed. We'll try and have you on again very, very soon on the show. Always good value. Enjoy the rest of, I think it's more, what time is it there now where you are?
What time 10 is it? Past one.
10 past one. Morning. Go and get some coffee.
You owe me.
Big. Yes. Yeah. All right. All right.
And thank you for having me. And I wish the West Indies team all the best of luck also in this series against South Africa.
Thank you very much indeed, Ed Rainsford. Thank you very much indeed. The former fast bowler from Zimbabwe. I've been having him on for the last 3 weeks and very good value indeed. All right. So Dr. Shallow is saying, gentlemen, that generally the first two rungs are pretty good in terms of the regional competition. Dr. Ford, Philo, any questions for our good friend Dr. Shallow?
Well, I just like Dr. Shallow to really explain to us why do we need the break between the round.
Okay.
Okay, I think if you recall, Dr. Ford, last time there was a similar break. And if you recall, we played a couple matches just ahead of the English series, which I think helped us all. And I think the cricket department scheduled this tournament before the tournament this way so that we could still get a few of our test players especially involved for the second round. So the test players, the specialists, are the ones who are not selected for the ODI series and the T20 series against South Africa. Mm-hmm. They should be available for the remainder of the championship. I think this is one of the main factors considered.
Mm.
Mm. But with regard to developing the resources and the depth, wouldn't it be good to have the other players engaged so that those that have form can maintain their form? And I know there's a cost involved and that may be prohibitive, but is it conducive to consistency and development to have a start stop and then introduce some of the players that may be on tour to reduce the pool of players that would be able to play?
Well, I suspect that the players who are in form, you know, they get a break now, probably a 1 week off from training. Some may go in the gym and so on to keep themselves, you know, fit. The others probably, you know, just you know, recovering from injuries and so on. I know, you know, the intensity that you know, 4 days of cricket, a little break in between, a few probably picked up injuries. And I think for me, what is quite important here is getting our best players to rub shoulders with our young players. So, for example, you know, a young Kevin Wickham being in the dressing room with a Craig Brathwaite, that could only help the youngster. And I think that is a consideration that I certainly favors, you know, that I would definitely favor going forward. But I get your point in terms of widening our pool of players. I was particularly happy to see, you know, I said it before, Matthew Nandu probably had Tej being in the Guyanese team for those first two rounds. Who knows, he may not have gotten that opportunity. So there are the pros and cons, but I would definitely be happy to see our test specialists being involved and certainly improving the standard of the original tournament.
Yeah, well Wickham would be unlikely to make such a team with Shea Hope and the others coming back. So, you know, that's really just the point I'm trying to make. It's hard to blend the youth and experience and give everybody an opportunity. But we do know that we don't play enough cricket, and we do know what's required to get our players up to scratch. Because unlike the English and the Australians and the Indian cricketers, our max stats before reaching test cricket suggests we aren't playing enough cricket. And therefore, the guys need the reps, and the only place they can get the reps would be at home. And this is causing us to have players develop at a later stage. Like we have a Chandapal coming out at 27. When let's say an Indian team has let's say a Pathik Shaw or some other guy coming out at 21. So it reduces the length of time that a West Indian player can be active on the international scene, but yet you have a player who hasn't seen much exposure and is still developing later. So do you think that we really need to find a way to fast track players from the under 19, give them the experience they need outside of white ball franchise cricket in order to really fortify and to feed into red ball cricket?
I agree with you Doc. So one of the things that came out of the franchise review report recently, which I chaired the committee, is to include more development players. In fact, we are saying that we need to have two mandatory development players included in each franchise, because we have to strike a balance with experience and youth. We want our young players to be coming through a lot faster than they are. You see, Gill for India, scoring run, I mean, probably one of the better players in the world right now, right? And he's the same age of Alec Atenas, who is just, you know, about to make his debut in international cricket. So we have to find a way of fast-tracking our talented players and giving them more opportunities. Another thing that I believe, another consideration must be to get more under-23 cricket going. You know, it's been some time now since we've been hearing about under-23 cricket. And we must find a way. I understand the challenge in terms of finances and logistics now with air travel and so on. But we have to be creative. If it's, you know, TWI sort of part funding a bilateral series for territorial boats so that it could be, you know, two islands, and then we have three different islands, well, competitions across the region. We must be creative, but we must find a way to get young players after they pass the under 19 stage occupied so that they could keep playing cricket and they could improve the cricket.
Fellow
chair.
Good evening, Dr. Shallow. How are you?
Good day, fellow. You have a message in your phone unanswered, yeah? I'll wait for your response at some time, but we will continue.
Come on, fellow. Check your phone.
I have to check my phone. I've been quite busy for the last couple of days. Okay, the importance of Brian Lara as our performance mentor in Zimbabwe, and obviously he's going on to South Africa. His role that he's playing there, you're talking about bridging the gap and bringing two players at a quicker rate under 23s. If your franchise review committee, is that something that you're going to look to implement as well in going forward and having some of our better cricketers participating as performance mentors or other people or other roles helping our players to develop at a quicker rate?
Absolutely. The players who have engaged with Brian so far, they have nothing but positive sentiments. Management as well, he's just a genius when it comes to cricket. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could see the players enjoying the interactions with him, learning from him, and his involvement there with the senior guys now. And I'm hoping that, you know, he would definitely be engaging our younger players as well sooner than later. He adds great value to our system. We just have to find a way of, I think one of the issues we have is our current crop of cricketers, our current players do not speak enough cricket. You know, off the field, players probably just go back to the hotel room now or, you know, find different things to do after. We have to find ways. So if we could get, you know, a few past players who obviously very knowledgeable and positive influence, if we can get them engaging our younger players from earlier, not waiting until they reach the test level, right? But, you know, from the time they're under 19 or even under 15. But at least in the West Indies system, you know, get them engaging with our past, you know, legends and experienced cricketers, you know, so that they could share the knowledge, explain to them what they can expect, how to prepare for international cricket and so on. I think that would add value to our system.
I see. Okay, hold your thoughts, Philip. We got to pause for our business cause. When we come back, 4341780, you see a couple of people wanting to interact with Dr. Shallow. But of course, Mason and Guest brought in association with the very good friends at ASFE, where it run the best shot of the day. All right, several WhatsApp messages as well, Dr. Shallow. They really want to hear from you. And of course, we're going to read some of them pretty soon. There's also a call in the line. It's now 7:90. Let's go and take this call. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good evening, Mr. Mason.
Good evening.
Happy Valentine's. Happy
Valentine's to you.
Good. You know this is your girl.
Yes, indeed.
Now I come to share some blows.
To share some blows. Okay, fair enough.
Yes.
To Dr. Shallow?
I want to any of you that are close enough to the cricketers, I want to congratulate young Mr. Shanda Paul. I want to say to him, if he plays as his father did, he will come not out, but he will not have the pleasure of striking the winning run. Because his father, when 9-10 Jack came in, took a single from the first ball and left 9-10 Jack to battle with the other five balls. And that happened all along. And the other teams
right.
knew so well mm-hmm. that they always gave him a run for the first ball because they knew that he was playing for himself
mm-hmm.
and right. not for the team.
All right, all right. We've heard that before. And
well, this is true.
Okay.
And he has to learn that all right. when you play for the team. If you watch, if anybody remembers the game with Brian Lauer down here
mm.
with the last man, I can't remember if it was Curt Lee or Walsh, when he farmed the ball unbated until the very last mm. ball
yeah.
and told the fella to run
right.
as fast as possible. That is the only way mm. that you can save. You can save a match and not come not out, but not striking the winning
right.
run.
Okay, thanks. All right, thank you very much indeed. Well, she's always on this thing with Shivrain Chandler Paul. Whenever he comes to Barbados again, I'm going to ensure that she meets this, that he meets this wonderful lady.
Unforgiven.
she's always called about that. Let me come at you, Dr. Shallow. There's a possibility that some of the games will be shifted from Trinidad and Tobago. I'm going to Guyana. Can you confirm this? When the tournament resumes?
I mentioned earlier in the program that there's some deliberation now taking place, and over the next 48 hours or so, I expect that the cricket department, you know, that they are going to confirm the venues. The challenge is that Diego Martin, the venue that we used last time, it is unavailable this time because I think they have football tournament there or something similar to that.
Oh.
So, so they're now considering whether to use a third ground in Trinidad and Tobago or to shift one of the games for each round to Guyana or somewhere else. So it should be confirmed within the next few hours.
Okay,
48 hours.
So if there are no games at that venue that you're talking about because of the core question of football, then the games that we should be playing at Diego Martin will then be shifted to Guyana. Is that what you're saying?
That should be confirmed. I can't tell you if it's Guyana or somewhere else, but
right.
but Guyana is being considered.
Guyana is being considered. All right. You're cast strapped because while we have him cricketed in Antigua, lots of cricket in Antigua, and of course in places like Grenada and Guyana because of constraints in relation to cash, it certainly is not the ideal situation, because ideally you would want to have cricket in places where you would ideally play a lot of your international cricket, like in Barbados and of course in Jamaica. So I really hope that the finances improve so that we can get cricket spread across the Caribbean again. Right, Dr. Shallow, agree with that?
That same sentiment has been shared with our management team.
Mm-hmm.
And they know very well that the board, you know, want the cricket to be played, you know, as wide as possible. And I'm sure by the end of this year, most of the cricket nations in the region in the Caribbean would be hosting whether regional or international cricket, including Barbados, Andrew.
Right. Okay. Several matters. The firing of Shirley Clark came as a big surprise to many people, and you're saying you weren't getting enough. Could you explain what you mean by that?
Yes, sure. Shirley is a very decent individual, courteous, and you know, have utmost positive intentions and so on. I'm sure that he will be a very good coach at the senior level. At this point, Winwards, and it wasn't an impulsive decision by any means. We conducted a review after the Super 50 performance last year, and we had the review lasted about 6 weeks. So by December, January, we had reports suggesting that, you know, things are not where it should be. But we decided as a board to allow Mr. Clark to continue until these two rounds to see if we see any improvement. And unfortunately, we didn't quite see any improvement. So we just accepted that we probably share different philosophies in terms of where the team is currently, meaning whether we want to be a winning team, a developing team, whether we want fitness to be a priority, and so on. And we just didn't think necessary that we want to save same wavelength. And we decided to, you know, part you know, amicably, with the intention that if in the future we want to engage him at any level, you know, that could be explored. So, you know, I think it's just in the best interest of everyone now, Winwards and Mr. Clark, you know, to have the separation. And I message Shirley and wish him all the best. He did confirm how appreciative he was of this opportunity. And quite frankly, without any reservation, I'm sure he's far more marketable now. And I'm hoping that he will definitely get some engagement pretty soon elsewhere. Because as I said before, he's a very decent individual.
Okay, I'm sure that Dr. Ford and Philo will have questions for you. Who takes over now from Shirley Clark?
We have made an interim recommendation. So there's a gentleman who is South African. Russell Sisson is his name. He has been with the team since October last year. So he's no stranger to the system and the players. He has been an assistant coach. So rather than recruit someone full-time now, we thought that it was best to, you know, in terms of continuity and so on, we use someone from within the squad. And we'll probably bring in one or two assistant coaches to be in the mix.
So he takes over as the head coach?
As the interim head coach until the end of the series.
Mm-hmm.
Until April.
He lives in the Caribbean?
He resides in Canawon, which is an island.
Canawon. Canawon.
One of the islands in the Grenadines.
Oh, I see. Fair enough. So this policy of having a West Indian as a coach, has that gone through the window?
This is Winwards cricket. This is not cricket West Indies.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that shortly.
Winwards never had that policy down.
I was trying to sneak that one in there, Doc. Dr. Ford or Philo, any reaction to the fact that Shirley Clark has been fired? Doc?
Well, I just wanted to know if Mr. Clark was aware he was on a probation of sorts, and was he informed at the end of the match or during the match?
Yeah, I suspect that he knew that, his performance as head coach would determine his fate as in the role, which is fair and as it should be, right? I think one of the issues in the region is that we fail to hold people accountable, right? It is something that in Winwards as a board we have discussed and agreed to, and we I remember at the beginning of the contractual period we sat down with coaches, management, players, you know, and we explain to them that we are moving forward, we want to improve, and we are going to hold everyone accountable, including myself as the president.
But did you articulate to him that at the end of the two matches, you'd make that assessment, and when was he informed about his departure?
Not explicitly, because I suspect then it would have, it could have come across as a threat, and we don't want to create that environment.
When was he informed?
He was informed after on the last day after the match. So that is Saturday evening after the match.
Okay. On reflection of your tenure during the 4 years and the need for results and the termination of Mr. Clark, do you consider that this policy is something that you maybe should have, maybe instituted in Cricket West Indies at that level?
Well, Cricket West Indies is obviously a greater challenge, more components, more moving parts, right? And it take a lot longer to get to decisions like these, unfortunately. Obviously, if you talk about separations with a head coach at Cricket West Indies, I mean, you have to be very cautious about how much money you're going to be paying out. And these are the kind of factors that, fortunately, at the Windward Islands, we don't, have to consider greatly. So I think it could be a case of preparing better. I'm getting some feedback, sorry.
Andrew, could you get your mic?
Okay. Just a question. They're saying again some feedback, Ken. Are we good now?
Yeah,
are you good now, Doc?
We can hear. Well, I can hear you. So,
We apologize for that. We'll deal with that.
Ken is not accustomed to Valentine's night working, so he's struggling. Are we good now? Yeah. Are we good now, Dr. Ford?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Dr. Dallow does the Windward Islands cricket have structural issues that affect the performance of the team and the raw materials you have to get the desired result that you wish to achieve.
What sort of structural challenges, Dr. Ford?
No, I'm asking you if as an administrator, do you think that structural challenges with your games and your league in order to get your players and the way the players are developed, is that a limiting factor?
Just hold your thought, Dr. Ford. We got
missing.
we fully understand. Let's apologize for the break, but of course that was a breaking story.
This is a good time for me to do two things.
Yeah.
One, to let you introduce the commercial. After I say that Philo, laughing, look. Philo is a real gallant lad.
Easy.
When he can give up his Valentine's celebration to help you to boost your program.
Oh my God, wonderful indeed.
Philo.
Wonderful.
Good evening.
All right, so let's pause our business calls, and in the time remaining, we're going to try and get back to Dr. Shallow. Mason and Guest, brought in association with the very good friends at ESF Wet Rum, the best show of the day.
ESF White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESF is the best show of the day. Boy, pa 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 da da. What you want? ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right. Let's go back to Dr. Shallow. Sorry about the interruption, but a big story break in there. Dr. Ford, you were saying.
It was a question, Dr. Shallow. We spoke to our friend from Zimbabwe earlier. We know about the West Indies. We're talking about the Windwards. My question is, considering the performance of the Windwards over the last few seasons that have been a cause for concern, just like with Zimbabwe and the West Indies having some structural issues that prevent the development and of players to a standard that you would like, I was asking you, are there any structures that you think may be limiting factors? Is it a microcosm of let's say a bigger picture of Zimbabwe, West Indies? That's the question.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Dr. Ford, and I understand where you're going with it. There's no secret that we are obviously different from the other territories bar in Leeward Islands. Leeward Islands and Windwards, similar to West Indies, you face very similar challenges in terms of having multiple states. Now, we have to accept this as a board. And what we have done is try to address all these different challenges. And we have said to everyone involved that there's no excuse for success, right? Because nothing is going to change. We are going to be separated by waters. We're going to have to, you know, have four different boards coming together. I'm speaking specifically for Windward. And so it is about putting the different structures in place to ensure that we mitigate against all the different challenges that we're speaking about. So, for example, we have clearly set policies. Andrew, you might want to mute your mic. Sorry. Right. So we have created handbooks for our players into our new players with the franchise. We have established, we have hired and recruited new staff from across the different islands and, you know, right across the region. Now, if we zoom into the franchise only, which is just one component of Windward Islands Cricket Board, because we obviously have our youth programs, both male and female. So in terms of the franchise, we have invested heavily. So for example, in the Super 50 last year, Windward was the only team to go into Trinidad earlier to ensure that we have, you know, our players acclimatized and so on. Hence, the first two games we won convincingly with Alec scoring two centuries, right? If we come to youth cricket, females, St. Vincent and the Grenadines hosted two under-19 tournaments. USA.
Excuse me, Andrew. We have to break again, please. We want to get a statement from the minister. So, gentlemen, please, we apologize. Come back in, Stetson Bab. Come in, Stetson Bab.
Right. Well, we're talking about the technical issue with the lights at Raleigh Adams International Airport that have caused the airport to be closed for the night. Subsequently, we have now received a statement on the matter, as we indicated, the Minister of Tourism and International Transport, Ian Gintangela-Stoll, will be issuing a statement. That statement says, at 5:40 p.m. today, we received a report from the airport of a 40 runway edge light circuit, he says. He says this will impact incoming and departing flights at Raleigh Adams International Airport beginning this evening, Tuesday, February 14th. The electrical team at the airport currently assessing the situation to see where the fault occurred. As a consequence, the Civil Aviation Department issued a notice to airmen to alert the airlines, the air operators, of the issue and advise them of the runway closure. Noting the challenge, it seems that the airport were able to work quickly, he said, to facilitate the departures of Air Canada, AC-93, and BA-254 this evening, and he said they left safely. The minister added they reviewed the schedule, and the following six incoming flights will be affected tonight. KLM 781, BW 408, that's Caribbean Airlines 408 and 417, Virgin Atlantic 188 and 131, and AA 1853. Also, the outbound flights impacted, BA 2154, Caribbean Airlines 409, KLM 781, Caribbean Airlines 417, Virgin Atlantic 188, and Virgin Atlantic 132. The minister adds that we stated the electrical teams on the ground are working to assess and repair the damage. The airport, we are told, will reopen tomorrow at 6:06 a.m. to inbound and departing flights. So we can confirm, and the minister has issued a statement confirming what we reported earlier, Raleigh Adams International Airport closed for the night to inbound and outbound flights. Several flights affected, of course, the airport due to reopen about 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Stetson Bab, Starcom Network News.
Well, thank you very kindly, Stetson. Thank you. Further updates will be heard this evening in the latest at 9:30. We now return to Mason and guests.
All right. Okay. Yes, you were making the point, Dr. Ford.
I'm not saying that stuff isn't being done. I'm just asking. Dr. Ford,
let me continue from
where. Yeah, sure.
I wasn't finished. Sorry.
Continue.
Right. I was telling you how we are mitigating against everything. So we hosted our under-19 USA team, right? And a Trinidad under-19 team prior to the original under-19 female tournament. Wynwood came third in that tournament behind USA and Trinidad and Tobago, right? As a result, we had two Wynwood Island players, under-19 players, making the West Indies senior team very recently, and Zeta James is currently at the World Cup. In addition to that, we also won the under-17 tournament. Wynwood Islands won the under-17 tournament, right? And very recently, I'm sure Dr. Ford and panelists and the other panelists, that you would have heard of a young under-15 cricketer from St. Lucia, Theo Edwards, scoring four consecutive centuries in a Wynwood Islands under-15 tournament. So yes, there are challenges, right? And there are structural challenges too, right? Similar to Leewards and West Indies, right? But we have to do a lot more, right, to be successful and to address all the different challenges and all the different hurdles that we have to cross. But I think once you have a group of like-minded persons with the best intentions in terms of cricket moving forward, then you could achieve all these different, you could be successful, despite, I would say.
Okay, well, I wasn't suggesting that you weren't making efforts to develop and do what's necessary for the game. The real question And I like the short answer. The short answer is, in spite of all that, are the fortunes of the Windwards just a coaching dependent thing? I'm asking you, are there other things that have contributed to you not winning seven matches? That's really the question.
Right, and thanks for that, for being very explicit there. And I would say, yes, they're a contributing factor. So when we had that review after the Super 50 in November, you know, we got a full appreciation of the different issues that probably would have contributed to our poor outing in Trinidad and Tobago. We didn't qualify for the finals, right, or for the playoffs, actually. And what we did, what came out of the review, we addressed those issues, and we thought that we should have been. I mean, I'm sure Dr. Ford, you and many other Barbadians who listen to this program looked at that game, Windwards versus Guyana, and probably the first one, Windwards against Trinidad and Tobago. We should have won both games, right? It is not for because if it's not structural challenges why we lost those games, we have to create a mindset in every team in the West Indies of winning. It must be about winning, right? It can't be based on excuses. People must be held accountable as well, right? And that is the message that as a board, Windward Islands Cricket Board, that is what we are saying to all of our stakeholders, mm-hmm. right? Including our management and players.
Mm. All right.
As a prospective president of Cricket West Indies, would you consider making adjustments so that you would be able to respond in good time to such failures within the West Indies system at all levels?
That is generally my philosophy as a leader. So wherever I go and whichever organization in cricket or in business, that is how I operate.
Mm. Now, Doc, in the interest of time, time is really going very quickly. So you are in fact running for the post of president of Cricket West Indies. We can confirm that, right?
You can confirm that, Andrew.
Good. Now, when are the nominations? Can you tell us the date?
The period is still open. I suspect within about a week or two, it should be closed.
Okay. So nominations are open and will be closed very soon?
I suspect, well, I won't say very soon, but within a week or two.
Within a week or two. All right. Who's going to be a running mate?
Currently, I do not have a running mate. And one of the things, Andrew, is, and I do not plan, unlike in the past,
right.
Let's say 4, 6 years, I suspect, well, probably 8, right? We had very contentious elections in Cricket West Indies. And quite frankly, I do not believe that helps the organization.
Okay.
And I think at this time, as a board, and I have heard and observed my colleagues, the other directors, even those who have expressed interest in becoming the president, that they understand fully that we cannot, in any way sort of compromise West Indies as an organization. So whatever the decision and whoever becomes the next president, I believe would have the full support of all the directors, and it would not be, as my good comrade in Barbados, Condi Riley said, there won't be a dark fight.
Yeah, he always says that. But you will have a running mate, though, wouldn't you?
I would think so. If there need. I mean, again, I want to ensure that every director is on the same same page, same wavelength going forward. And I don't want it to be that sort of election way, because I don't think Cricket West Indies can move forward
right
in that way with directors, challenging each other. I mean, though it's a democratic process, yes, but I would much prefer if we sit down as a board of directors and determine who is going to be the next president.
Right. Where are you going to get your support, Dr. Shallow?
Well, the fact that I'm already nominated, it means that there's support there. Andrew, I know that eventually you will have all the details, and in due course.
So were you nominated by the Windwards and seconded by the Leewards? Is that true?
I, I, I don't think it's appropriate for me to put that information.
Fair enough. Let's move on quickly. Getting some stuff here coming through on a WhatsApp. The players in the regional competition, Dr. Shallow, are saying that they have not been paid since November for the Super 50. Is that true?
I think, and it is not inconsistent, not ideal, but it's not inconsistent with the past, whereas it takes a couple months, sometimes probably a little more than a couple, to get the payments for tournament. However, players, every franchise player receives their payment at the end of the month. So they're retainers, they're paid their retainers on time, but tournaments, the payment for those tournaments, for match fees, to be precise, those are processed a lot slower, right? And as I said, it is not ideal, and it's something that must be addressed sooner than later, right, to ensure that our players are paid on time. But you know, it is consistent with, let's say, practice for the last 4 or 5, well, probably decade, actually.
Okay, I see. So their money's to be paid then. Barbados, they have not received their prize money for winning last year. Is that right? Because this is what I'm seeing here now. Somebody just sent me a WhatsApp on that.
I can't confirm that. Maybe someone from BCA would have to confirm that. Or probably Johnny when next time he's on the program.
He's on the show.
Confirm. Maybe that is considered, you know, in the same category with price, with match fees.
I see. All right. Now, in terms of the financial situation, I know Philo wants to get in quickly. Is CWA broke?
I certainly won't say that. In fact, I think the next couple of years, the projections would be probably the best. I got some good news.
Wonderful!
Yesterday, which I won't share just yet. But you know, I think things are definitely looking up for the next few years. And you know, I do believe, and Dr. Ford would agree with me as because it's something that he has raised over the years.
Right,
is we need to improve our commercial model going forward. We must find a way to increase our revenue, and I believe that it is something that could be done and must be done, and certainly no doubt. And this is not necessarily meaning money is coming from ICC, though it would be ideal for that to increase as well. But CWI must find ways to generate more revenue.
I see. Philo, any questions for your good friend Dr. Shallow?
Yeah, and obviously Dr. Shallow, the Windward Islands are part of your ways with Shirley Clark, who I thought was doing the job, actually. The Windward Volcanoes, they're fourth for 19.4 points. so they're not sitting badly in the competition after two games. They have not won two games. And I heard Dr. Shallow stating that they're looking at winning. Now, you can only win if your players and the people around those players are accustomed to winning. Winning doesn't happen overnight. Winning is a process. So now you've exited your head coach, you have an interim coach. Is this interim coach on the same page as the Windward Islands Cricket Board in relation to winning games? And how is he going to transform that attitude of just being thereabouts into a winning attitude?
Yeah.
The process to part with Mr. Clark, Shirley Clark, you know, it was a comprehensive one. Again, our board, you know, very experienced administrators and people who are very analytical, right? So it was a decision that we absolutely believe, and at this point I have no doubt that it was the best decision at the very right timing, right? You spoke of two matches that we didn't capitalize on because we really should have won those. And
we're talking about
seven games, Philo. Seven matches and we have one.
And two matches.
Unlike one second.
Sorry.
You asked the question here. Now, you might be okay with Winwood's being fourth, right? But I do not believe that is good enough, right? And my fellow directors do not believe so as well, right? I mean, it's not because the team hasn't been winning over the years mean they can't start to win. And if you're providing them with every opportunity, everything that they have requested, right, and you have created the environment there that should be conducive to good performance, then you must hold people accountable. And I'm sure you would agree with that approach.
Interesting.
I look at it a little deeper.
Let me break it down for you, Phil. Let me give you a scenario, right?
Right.
Now, in this last game, you had Guyana, and there's absolutely no doubt why Guyana team has been winning for years, because they have an astute captain in the name of Leon Johnson, right?
Right, right.
These guys in this game, they were actually trying to win this game on the final day, right? They were actually behind the game, but they thought that, listen, based on the structure of the tournament and the points system, right? Mm. If they lose the game, they don't lose any points. But if they win the game, they obviously get the points, because there's no first innings points in this tournament.
None.
And so they were heading for the game to win, while Winwards was at every point through the match giving the impression that they were comfortable with just trying the game, simply because they're not accustomed to winning.
Oh. Right?
So you bowl 17 plus overs at the number 11 batsman,
mm-hmm.
right? With trying to draw the game. That was the mindset in the team, right? Now, it is not hard to change that mindset, right? And we are saying, as a board, we are holding not only the coach, but every player accountable, right? So you might see some changes, right?
Mm.
But just mean it started with the head coach. And, you know, that probably caught a bit more attention than if a player, you know, is to be excluded from the team. But again, I stand by the decision. I think it was excellent timing.
Excellent timing.
And I also believe that, which in Shirley Clark, we have a coach who would learn from this opportunity and become, you know, who knows, become an international coach. And I certainly would support him in the future becoming an international coach.
All right. We got another, 5 minutes left on the show. I think we sneak in another 5 minutes for the time. Is that right?
No. We're not going to do any sneaking here. Mm. I'm going to refund you.
Refund
your 5 minutes that I used up.
Okay, fair enough. I thought it was slightly more than I thought it was six.
Oh, no.
No.
Give us a commercial.
Yes. Okay, and then you refund me. All right, final commercial, then we go for another 5 or 6 minutes, and then we say happy Valentine's and get out of here. Mason and Guest, brought in association with the very good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASFE is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, Dr. Shalom, the time left on the show. When is the date for the elections for President of Cricket West Indies? Is there a date? When is the date?
The AGM is March the 25th.
So March the 25th. So on March the 25th, we should know who the President of Cricket West Indies is. Is that correct?
Yes, you should. Unless anyone stays away and we have to reschedule the AGM.
Right.
And like previously, you know, that happened one time.
Yeah, I know. And the AGM will be in which country?
That hasn't been decided yet. It probably is in Antigua, the secretariat.
Oh, the AGM. Okay. Possible. Okay. In Antigua. All right. Interesting. Now, in terms of South Africa, is it true that Jimmy Adams will be going to South Africa? With the West Indies team?
I had a conversation where he might be traveling with the to support the team during that transition of the test and the white ball players. So I think he's going to spend some time with them. I'm not sure if it's confirmed yet, but he did indicate that he's exploring that opportunity.
So Jimmy Adams is going to South Africa. I'm hearing that he's going as the acting batting coach. Is that true?
I can't confirm that, sorry. He's going as the director of cricket, and you know it would not be different from in the past, Andrew, where he has spent time with both the senior teams and actually our under 19 team as well, and I think the emerging players. So it won't be any different from that.
Mm. Yeah, because I'm hearing, you know, we tend to hear things on Mason and Guest that he's going to be performing that role as batting coach. So
you should probably invite. Jimmy on the program.
Well, Jimmy doesn't talk a lot, huh? I mean, we don't hear anything from Jimmy.
That's Philip best, you know. That's Philip very good friend.
Yeah, but Jimmy doesn't talk, does he? Dr. Ford,
But he has been on the program already. Probably not recently, but I'm sure if you extend an invitation to him.
I see. But Philip, I heard that he's going to South Africa and he may very be there as the batting coach. Have you heard anything, Philip? You tend to hear these things.
Philip, I mean, who is the performance mentor?
Yes.
So I hope they don't clash.
I like that.
And we go there. I hope he goes there and obviously bring back material that can help.
I believe that it is great that, you know, if Jimmy could go. I mean, I remember speaking to a couple of the senior players and the test team especially, and they said that they would definitely like to have Jimmy. Yeah. You know, around them a bit more often, you know, to share that knowledge and so on. So if Jimmy could really go and spend time,
Dr. Shallow, I want to confirm on Mason and guess that Jimmy Adams is going to South Africa and he may perform the role as batting coach. Can we confirm that?
I believe in due course that could be confirmed if it's so.
All right.
But I would say speak to Jimmy Adams.
But I'm telling you, Dr. Ford, Dr. Shallow, Philo Wallace, that is the information that I have. And Mason and Guest, we get the information, you know.
But Andrew, that would be perfect, though. That would be great news, I believe. And I'm sure you'll be happy to hear that Jimmy is going
All right. So the big news coming out of Mason and Guest is that Jimmy Adams is going to South Africa as the batting coach. Dr. Ford, you want to comment on that?
Well, I guess time will tell. I'm not even sure I can get an answer. How would Dr. Shallow mark the performance of, let's say, Jimmy Adams or Johnny Grave, a Dominic Warren, out of 10?
Interesting question.
Dr. Ford, you know, knew that he won't get an answer to that.
He wouldn't get an answer to that.
Probably next time we are having a drink, Dr. Ford.
Yes, indeed. For final question, we got 2 minutes left on the show. More like 2 minutes, right? Just like
exactly 2 minutes.
Exactly 2 minutes. What would be the highlights of this shallow skirt reign for 4 years? Is that a fair question to you, Doc?
It is, and in due course, I would answer that too. And I promise, Andrew, that I'll be back in the program within the next 2 weeks. I promise you.
Right. Okay. We want to thank you.
And we have more time. We have more time to talk about.
Yes, and of course, on that occasion, there may not be any breaking news then. So you wouldn't break your stride. Thank you, Dr. Shallow. I know you just got married.
Thank you.
Are you going out tonight on one of those big Valentine's night with your wife? No,
I just might after this conversation. I might just go for drink.
So the answer is yes. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Shallow, the president of WIT. And understand you've got the support of the Leewards, the Windwards, and Jamaica,
and Barbados, Jamaica,
everybody,
Trinidad and Guyana.
Yes, that's what I heard. So that's the president.
Okay.
And you must have Dr. Ford as your campaign manager. Can we arrange that?
Certainly.
All right. Thanks very much indeed. Of course. All right. So thanks to you, Dr. Shallow. Thanks to you, Philo. I hope you get your big pick back on that committee. Thanks to you, Dr. Ford. It was absolutely brilliant hearing from Ed Rainsford. We also heard from Alec Athanase really very well indeed. And it's really good that he is in the West Indies side. And of course, we heard from Ryan Hines. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a better tomorrow. It's good night.